Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios, Bridgestone Arena. The Predators tonight taking on the Las Vegas, I guess they call themselves the Vegas Golden Knights, Las Vegas tonight at 7 o'clock, Barry Trotz at 5 o'clock, and we do have a pair of tickets that we are giving away, and I probably need to give those away sooner rather than later, Ian, if I had to guess, since people need to make plans if they're going to the game.
Yeah, that would be the nice thing to do.
Okay, we'll do it this hour. So be listening for your chance to win those tickets at 615-737-1025. Not now, but when you have the opportunity to win them. So I heard, I was listening yesterday to Robbie and Joe, and they were talking about, you know, would Rand Carthon have made all these moves if Vrabel was still here, or was Vrabel holding Rand Carthon back? And Robbie and Joe were kind of addressing that text, and I heard Joe say something that I think most people think is the case, but the actions actually speak otherwise. Here's what Joe said.
They were making one more run. That was the decision last year. They were going to make another run with Tannehill and Henry and try to be as good as they could with that group. It's like, I mean, basically the decision was made, okay, lost seven in a row at the end of last year, but Simmons wasn't really Simmons, and, you know, all the injuries, and, you know, this rookie Treylon Burks looks like, you know, he's got the talent to come in and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, all the things we talked about last offseason. I mean, half of camp, we talked about how great Treylon Burks looked, right? But that's just an example. You know, draft the guard. It's just, and also the cap situation is different. You know, they had some contracts on the book, on the books a year ago. It's a very different situation. They did not have the top, they didn't have the most cap space in the league a year ago. They did going into this offseason. So, and then you know, and you've switched quarterbacks, and it's like the roster needs a total rebuild. Now, I think you could go back and say, did they make a mistake in, you know, going for it one more year? Should they not have done that? But the thing is, that's the thing. That's where it was like this half measure offseason. They drafted Levis still.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're going to go for it, then use that draft capital to get players who are going to help Tannehill and Henry, right?
Okay. So Joe was like, you know, last year they were running it back one more year. This year they're rebuilding. And I heard the Midday Show talking about the same thing. Ian, when I walked up here to Barrel House, they were arguing about whether or not the Titans are rebuilding. And so I think there are a lot of people that last year were like, they're running it back. They're going for it one more year. And this year, because Tannehill's not there, Henry's not there, Byard's not there, they're rebuilding. Well, let me ask you a question. Again, what moves does a rebuilding team make? And what moves does a going-for-it team make? Does a going-for-it team sign Andre Dillard on the hopes that, well, he was a backup and we can get him for cheap, so maybe he can be good here? Does a going-for-it team give Aaron Brewer $4 million to play center? Or sign Azeez Al-Shaair and Sean Murphy Bunting and Daniel Brunskill to these small deals just to get by? Is that what going for it is? No. Going for it would be trading the 11th overall pick to go and get some star player. Going for it would have been to redo Tannehill and Henry's contracts or extend Tannehill and Henry's contracts to lower the money so that they could sign Mike McGlinchey to play right tackle. That's going for it. They didn't go for it last year. They drafted their third-string quarterback at the start of the season in the second round. That's not going for it. And this year's team, if they were rebuilding, they would do what Arizona did last year, and they would get rid of DeAndre Hopkins because, well, we're not going to be any good this year anyways, and we don't want to pay the $19 million, and so let's go ahead and move on. Instead, this team, Lloyd Cushenberry, that is not a move for 4 years from now. That is a move for right now. Chidobe Awuzie, L'Jarius Sneed, Calvin Ridley, those aren't moves for rebuilding teams. Those aren't moves. A lot of people, when we were wondering if the Titans were going to spend big money this offseason before we saw the Titans get out there and spend big money, a lot of people said, well, we're not in the same spot the Texans are, Jared. The Texans are going for it. We're not there yet. We don't know what they have in Will Levis. But to me, the 2024 Titans are going for it more than the 2023 Titans ever dreamed of going for it. especially considering that probably the biggest whale chase of the 2023 offseason was the Titans' pursuit of C.J. Stroud. If that's not a move for the future, I don't know what else is. I mean, they spent last offseason trying to get rid of Kevin Byard or get him to take a pay cut, and they spent a lot of last year trying to shop Derrick Henry. I mean, if Derrick Henry knows that there was a deal that was almost made between him and the Ravens, that means the Titans were looking to get rid of Derrick Henry. Rand Carthon was trying to tear this team down last year. Mike Vrabel's like, whoa, 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 whoa. But they didn't go out and buy the way they bought this offseason. So while it's convenient to say that all the moves last year were bad and it was all Vrabel's fault and they should have never tried to go for it because they didn't get the results, that doesn't really match with reality. Reality says last year the Titans were rebuilding. When you decide 6 games into a season, and we've all seen the Titans at 2-4, 6 games into a season, round up the wagons and find themselves in the AFC Championship game. The Titans have been to the AFC Championship game 3 times since they showed up here. One time they were 1-4, another time they were 2-4. We've seen the Titans do this. I don't ever remember when Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher were 1-4 in 2002. I don't ever remember their talk of, oh, we got to get rid of Eddie George and Steve McNair. But the reality is last year was the rebuilding year. That was last year. And it was stupid that if you're going to rebuild your football team, that you're going to keep Mike Vrabel in place and expect Mike Vrabel to win. And I think there were a lot of mixed messages. But again, when you decide at 2-4 to just give up on the season the way they did by trading Kevin Byard, you're not a team that was ever serious about competing. So last year was rebuilding. This is going for it. They're going for it this year. And, I mean, they can lie and say that they are not. Chad Brinker did that podcast, and he talked about, you know, you'll see in 5 years from now, you'll see. And I'm like, what? 5 years from now? Brother, this is the NFL. Like, we don't wait 5 years in the NFL. And if you are waiting in 5 years, then what's the point of these moves? Because Lloyd Cushenberry is not going to be a top-of-the-market center in 5 years. I mean, there is no way, just based off of what I heard, that L'Jarius Sneed's knees are going to be available in 5 years. And they're not signing him to a 5-year contract. But again, there's no way. These are moves for today. And so this is not a rebuilding team. Now, I don't think they're trying to build a championship contender right now as much as I think they're trying to build a good football team so that they can decide, one, that they can put the quarterback in position to succeed, and two, to decide if the quarterback is a franchise quarterback, which, again, will be determined by what happens on the field and not by anybody's gut feeling. But this is not rebuilding. And most teams do not get rebuilding years in the NFL. Last year was a 1 foot in, 1 foot out. This year's 2 feet in. This is not rebuilding. Just because Tannehill and Henry aren't here anymore doesn't mean that, again, Derrick Henry got $9 million. Tony Pollard got $8 million. If you're rebuilding, you don't go pay a running back $8 million when you've already got a running back. This is not a rebuild. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll hit some more of your phones. Plus, I don't hate any of these players the Titans have added, other than Mason Rudolph, which, again, that's a backup quarterback, but backup quarterbacks play nowadays. I don't really hate any of these players, but there is something that I'm not seeing from the Titans. We'll do that next on your phone. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, the game. And let me tell all the fine folks out there that you can score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators for your chance at the $10,000 Power Play giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. That's right, Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. LeeCompany.com/giveaway to enter. That's LeeCompany.com/giveaway to enter. In the 10K Power Play giveaway, contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company, all you need.
Added, I think, some explosiveness to our offense. Obviously, you pair up Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears together. That's a pretty formidable 1-2 punch. Two guys that both can score touchdowns. Got some explosiveness and make you miss in their game. And catch the ball out of the backfield and can protect. And so you have two guys that are really sort of interchangeable, both with a little bit different skill sets that I think really add something unique to the offense. And obviously Calvin, really excited about Calvin. His speed, his ability to get in and out of breaks, to separate, are really kind of top level for the position in the league. And he just brings an element that we really needed. And an opportunity to add him was pretty awesome.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan at the owners' meetings. And I've been thinking about this. The names the Titans have added are big names, big salaries, and they're not bad players. Like, Lloyd Cushenberry's a good player. Tony Pollard's a good player. Ridley's a good player. Sneed's a good player. Owusu's a good player. You know, Rudolph and Kenneth Murray, we'll see. But I was thinking about, you know, everybody talking about, you know, oh, well, we got to have a plan, and we've got to – I'm not really sure I see the plan. Other than, like, let's just go get good players, which is not a bad idea. You don't get worse by adding good players. But we were talking about this during a break, me and Derek, while the midday show was on today. And I think Willie asked the question, because Willie thinks this team's going to suck this year and that we all need to embrace sucking and a rebuild is coming and all of that stuff. And somehow we started talking about whether or not the team's better. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, this team won six games last year. Which is not good, but it's also not horrifically awful, like, you know, a two-win team. So they won six games. They still don't have a left tackle or a right tackle, which they didn't have last year. They do have a center that can snap the ball, which is a step up. Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, you know, I'd say that's kind of a wash. Quarterback, it's the same. So they're better at receiver, but again, they still don't have a tackle, so that's... And then on defense, it's like, oh, well, yeah, Sneed and Owusu, right, but they're missing a safety. They don't have Azeez or anybody that can wear the green dot, and Danico Autry's 11.5 sacks aren't there. And so still don't have tackles, still don't have the Danico Autry consistency and production, and, I mean, Danico was a good player. And you still don't have a green dot off inside backer, and you're still missing a safety. Like, it's hard for me to, like, see exactly what the plan is outside of I do think they're going to draft the left tackle in Joe Alt, and that will make you better. Like, that's the one thing where I'm like, okay, I see the plan there. They're going to draft the tackle. Kyle is up next. Our phone lines are driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com at 615-737-1025. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Jared. I tried getting in on the last segment with Willie and them earlier, but ran out of time. Anyways, I'm with Willie on it. When this free agency started, we lost Derrick Henry, Tannehill, you know, Autry, Azeer. We lost a lot of dudes. So that put us at the bottom of the league, bottom three. I think we have now bought our way back to the middle, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins. It'd be great if we get 10 wins. That just means Will took a next step, and he's on a Pro Bowl trajectory. What do you think?
So, I mean, I think you lost a lot, and I appreciate your call. But, again, basically the only change in the offense is Calvin Ridley's in. Like, that, Calvin Ridley and Lloyd Cushenberry are in, so you're better on offense.
What about Derek?
You replace him with Tony Pollard.
Yeah, that's a big difference, though. It's going to look different.
It's $1 million difference.
Are you talking about money?
As far as value is concerned, and I told you guys when they made the move, I put my free agent board together. I had Tony Pollard number two off the board behind Josh Jacobs.
What about effectiveness? Do we think it's going to work, you know?
I mean, again, Pro Football Focus tells us Tony Pollard's a better runner than Derrick Henry right now. At this point in Derrick Henry's career.
He is faster, but...
Pro Football Focus says Pollard's a better runner. And again, you're not going to have Pollard running the ball as much because they are going to run the ball with Spears and everything. But again, I think it's a wash. Because their Pro Football Focus grades are very similar. Derek is 30, Pollard is 26. And not only are their Pro Football Focus grades the same, but at the same time, you know, one guy is significantly younger than the other guy in running back years. So I say that's a wash. The difference is Ridley, who is a good player. And then if you add Alt, I mean, that can't be worse. You can't be worse than Duncan at left tackle. The problem is defense. If you had this team with Jerome Baker, who was $7 million to Seattle, and again, he came and visited. We don't know if it was the medicals or not or whatever. But if you put Jerome Baker at inside backer, or you had a David Long Jr. at inside backer, and you brought DeNico Autry back, then I'd say, oh, my God, you are a much better team. And then what they'd really need to do is figure out right tackle after the 11th or after the 7th pick. But it's hard for me when you don't have DeNico's consistency and his production and everything else. That one's kind of hard for me. And so when you say, well, I thought that this team lost a lot, and then they bought their way back to the middle, this is what I think about the NFL. First of all, I don't think that there are large-scale rebuilds at all in the NFL. Some people tell me, you know, I talk about Jacksonville. They were the worst team in the league, and then they were in the divisional round of the playoffs. And people say, well, but Jacksonville was so bad for so long, Jared. Right. But they weren't rebuilding. That year with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, they were not rebuilding. They were trying to win. Doug Marrone was trying to win. Then when Urban Meyer came in, Urban Meyer was trying to win. He just is a moron. So even though, like, they were bad, that doesn't mean that they weren't trying to win. They were trying to win. And then they got it right in free agency around their young quarterback, and they were good. Same with the Texans last year. Oh, well, the Texans were so bad for all those years. The Texans' rebuilding year was 2021, the year where Deshaun Watson said he didn't want to play for the team, and he was going through all of his stuff, and they had to have Davis Mills at quarterback. That was their rebuilding year. 2022 was not a rebuilding year for Lovie Smith. They were just bad. And 2023 was obviously not a rebuilding year. They got the quarterback and they got good. So this is not a rebuilding year. And again, when you say, well, I think we're now an 8-win team, there's one factor that a lot of people forget about this. And that is that you get to play a fourth place schedule now. And the fourth place schedule is more valuable than it's ever been because there are now four games that are affected by the fourth place schedule. Or excuse me, three games. There's the two other AFC games that you would not normally play that are against fourth place teams. And now the 17th game, which is an NFC team that you are going to play that is a fourth place team. So your schedule is not going to be the same either. And I think that's going to be very beneficial. But it's like I told the guys, I was like, I told the midday show, I go, if this team's terrible, Rand's going to get fired. And Willie was like, oh, no, no, no. There's no way that he's going to get fired. I'm like, dude, the owner, she is not patient. And she expects better. And when you spend as much money as she's giving them to spend, she should expect better. So I'm fine with that. Ben texts into the text line, and he says that he has an objection to my comment about clicks, Ian.
Okay, let's hear it.
He says that he does not think the people that say that I'm after clicks, Jared Stillman's just doing this for clicks, are the same people that say that I tell the truth. I disagree. And I use Mike Vrabel as an example of this. I'll use Mike Vrabel as an example of this. I'll use Rand Carthon as an example of this. I'll use John Hines as an example of this. When John Hines got hired, I looked at that resume and I'm like, that's not good enough. I'm sorry. No, thank you. Oh, Jared, you don't understand. He's going to be a great coach for us. Blah, 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 blah. 2022, I'm like, this guy stinks. And people that didn't want to hear that because they want to hear that their coach is good, they're like, oh, you're just saying that for clicks. You're just getting into it with Vrabel in the press conferences for clicks. You're just trying to get attention. But then once you get tired of losing, with Vrabel and John Hines, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, you know, Jared's the one who tells the truth around here. It's like Rand Carthon. I said that the Titans should clean house at the end of the year. Fire Vrabel, fire Rand, go get a general manager, have the general manager hire the coach, a traditional football organization. And you all were completely against it. And then Rand had that press conference the day that Vrabel got fired, and a lot of you were like, oh, wow. You are onto something here. Now they spent some money on players, so now you're back to, oh, Jared just hates no matter what. But if they don't win, your opinion's going to change, and then you're going to say, oh, yep, here they are, just telling the truth. So I think it is kind of the same. 615-737-1025. Let's give away those Preds tickets. Coming up next, Coach Cal makes his pitch to save his job. We'll do that. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, and you are going tonight to see the Nashville Predators go for 18 games in a row with a point, the team that never loses in regulation anymore, against the Vegas Golden Knights at Bridgestone Arena at 7 o'clock right here. Good luck. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Cal, how you doing?
Have had better weekends. Hurting. Our team, players, staff, their families, we're all hurting. I'm hurting for them, but I'm hurting. I'm hurting for our fans, and I know many fans out there are hurting. But I want to say, no one is hurting more than me right now. Tom, let me just say, we have a standard here. I said early on, they don't put Final Four banners up, only national championship banners. My standard is we're playing to play deep into the NCAA tournament and compete for national titles and win national titles. I wanted this job knowing that was the case. I love this job knowing that was the case. I never left this job. But that's what the standard is for me.
There you go. That was Coach Cal, John Calipari, on his radio show yesterday. So Cal, apparently, according to Matt Jones at Kentucky Sports Radio, Cal, after they lost, flew back to Lexington with the team. Then he flew to New Jersey for the weekend. Then he flew back to Lexington, and he did his radio show there yesterday. And you hear Cal, nobody's more upset than me. Nobody understands the standard more than me. Nobody is hurting more than me. It's a very good sales tactic for Calipari to show the fans he cares about their pain. One problem. Whose job is it to uphold the standard of Kentucky basketball? Calipari is here telling us that he understands that the standard of Kentucky basketball, we don't hang Final Four banners at Kentucky. We hang national championship banners. That's the standard at Kentucky. Right. And whose job is it to make sure that you meet the standard? I understand Cal hurts that they lost to Oakland. I'd hurt if I lost to Oakland too. The problem is that they pay this guy $10 million a year to not lose to Oakland. You see what I'm saying? And Cal continued this again when he's acting like, hey, fans, I'm in the foxhole with you. Let's do this together. Me and you. Come on, fans.
Let me finish on this stuff, Tom. You know, I talked again about the standard that is a standard that I believe in, that I think we can do. But that standard of national titles has been here from Coach Rupp on. And the only thing that I'm saying to all our fans, I'm going to work in our state, work for this program and this university, really work for these young people. And that's my commitment. I'm not changing. 24/7, let's go. Whether it's recruiting, all the stuff that we've got to do. That is a commitment that I give to the fans that I haven't changed. This is like wearing a coat. It never goes away, but I love it. This is what I want. This is what I wanted. This is why I never left. This is it. And now it's, let's come together and let's go do something. Let's do something special and we can do it. We've done it. Let's do it again.
That is a rah-rah speech. The problem is that rah-rah speeches are not going to get you out of this. I mean, here's Calipari, like, fans, I mean, we're going to go all in on this. We're going to go all in on recruiting. We're going to go all in on the grind 24/7, and that's how I've always been, and I'm not changing. Odd, because the results have changed. So if you're going to do the same things that you've done over the last however many years since it's been that Kentucky's been good. If you're going to do all of this and you're not going to change and you've been doing all of this, then why should I expect the results to change? And what's crazy is after the radio show was over, Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, tweeted out, how do you feel about Cal? Do you feel better, the same, or more angry? And a lot of the fans, we talked about this at the end of the show yesterday, a lot of the Kentucky fans were like, I feel better. Well, I went and listened to it. I'm actually more angry. And I, you know me, I don't care about Kentucky, but I'm angry. Like, I'm angry at Calipari that Calipari's message to the fans is not a, hey, here's where I feel like our missteps are. Here's where I'm willing to change. I mean, you got to level with these people. Barry Trotz is going to be here at 5 o'clock. You think Barry Trotz would get on there and say, let's do this together, team? Or do you think it's like, no, hey, we got to plan our plans, blah, 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 blah. Calipari offers no tangible way for me to see him getting better other than, fans, let's do this. And that's not enough for me. It's like they had a caller on the postgame show on Kentucky Sports Radio after they lost to Oakland who said, you know, I'm going to give Cal another year, but this is the year that he's got to prove it. And they were like, last year was the year that Cal had to prove it. So if after last year it was, okay, we lost in the second round, we haven't been to the Sweet 16 since 2019, we haven't this, we haven't that, next year is the year, and then in next year you lose to Oakland, then you just give him next year again, what do you think's going to happen? See, here's the reality, and when he meets with Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director, which I think is happening today, when he meets with Mitch Barnhart, here's what he, like if I was athletic director, here's what Calipari would need to have for me. Calipari would need to have some ace up his sleeve like Anthony Davis or like the Anthony Davis team. Because, again, the rah-rah talk may get him out of trouble for right now. But it will not ease the anxiety and the anger going into next season. And if that happens at the first sign of trouble, and when you're a head coach who has pretty much all freshmen every year, there's going to be a sign of trouble. At the first sign of trouble, those fans are going to go nuts. And it is going to be like Tennessee in 2017, Butch Jones's last year, when Butch got one more chance and they started that first game in Atlanta against Georgia Tech and they had a guy on the sideline holding up a trash can. And it was like, oh my God. And with each game, the anger, the intensity, I mean, it was volatile and it got worse and worse and worse. It was untenable. And that's going to be what's going to happen to Calipari next year. So if I was the athletic director, I'd be sitting down with Cal and I'm like, okay, what's the Anthony? We have to have an Anthony Davis level team next year. Like a team that absolutely, no matter what, will be playing in the second weekend. What can you do to guarantee me that we'll have that team? Where's the NIL money? Where's the players? Who are the players? What are we doing about the coaching staff? What are we, all of those things. And I'm not sure Calipari has those. Because Calipari's not the same guy that he was 5 years ago. He's not the same guy he was 10 years ago. As a fan of a team that, again, I root against Calipari, as a fan of a team that considers Kentucky its biggest rival, and I think you Tennessee fans probably out there consider Kentucky your biggest rival in basketball too. I used to fear Calipari's recruiting ability. I used to fear those teams that they would put together with Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd Gilchrist and John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. And I mean, those teams, Carl Anthony Towns. I remember being on the radio in Louisville and Rick Pitino was out recruiting Akoya Gao and Shaquan Aaron and, you know, these guys you've never heard of and you never should have heard of. And he's recruiting these guys. And Cal is recruiting Trey Lyles and Carl Anthony Towns and this incredible team. And I said on the radio one day, I go, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the fact that Rick's recruiting these bozos and Cal is recruiting all these superstars. And then I'm told that I need to deal with it. boy, did that make people mad. Oh, my goodness, it made them mad. The athletic director ripped me a new one after that. So it is what it is. But again, my point is that, like, the magic's gone. And Cal giving a rah-rah speech and saying, nobody hurts more than me, who gives a rat's ass how much you hurt? It's your job to make sure that you don't hurt because you should beat Oakland. And if you're some sucker that sits there and says, well, Coach Cal, he cares, then that's on you. Don't come crying next year when the same thing happens again. When Kentucky's a 2 seed and they play Scarbini State and they lose because the guy, you know, they got one player that does something and Cal doesn't take it away, don't come crying to me about it. I mean, I think it's going to get ugly. They need to break up. 615-737-1025. We'll get your thoughts in on that. And apparently, that meeting between Calipari and Mitch Barnhart is today. And it makes me think there's a chance Cal's getting fired today. I don't have any inside info on it other than what I know of Barnhart, and I think I know Barnhart well enough. We'll do that next. Window Nation. March is a critical time to check your home's windows, especially if you're hurting from the loss over the weekend. If you're hurting because your energy bills keep skyrocketing because you've got cracked or leaking windows that won't stay open or won't close or won't, you need to get with Window Nation. Call the pros today. If you have cracked windows or that weather, the windstorm yesterday had an effect on it, call Window Nation, because right now, for every 2 windows you'll buy, you'll get 2 windows for free. Plus, 0 down, 0 interest, and no payments for 24 months. With proven quality and service, it's no wonder why thousands trust Window Nation, including me. I had Window Nation in my home for the free in-home estimate. They said, I don't need to replace my windows. I can trust you. If you've got an opportunity to get business from me and you say you don't need it, that lets me trust you. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Again, 2 windows free for every 2 you buy, plus 0 down, 0 interest, and no payments for 24 months. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
Cal, a lot of noise out there, rumors, etc. So let's start with this. I assume that there's some type of meeting that happens at the end of the season, just like there is in the corporate world. There's a performance review of sorts. Does that happen with you and Mitch? And if so, has it happened yet?
Yeah, we do it every year, and we haven't, but it'll be done in the next couple days. And every year we share thoughts with each other. And I'm sure he's hurting. I was on the plane back. He's hurting like the rest of us. And I look forward to hearing his thoughts, you know, how we can be better. But let me say this. Right now, I've got to turn my attention to this current team. I have individual meetings set up. My staff has been spending time with the guys because we got to find out where are they right now and where are they as they're going to go through the process, who's going through it and how we're doing that. So we've got to live through that stuff right now, the immediate. But my guess is we'll meet, Mitch and I will meet tomorrow.
There you go, Calipari. That was yesterday on his coach's show saying, my guess is Mitch and I will meet tomorrow and we'll have ideas. And then everything after that was just a bunch of gobbledygook. So Kentucky is currently in the stages of hiring a women's basketball coach. And that is important because that is taking time away from Mitch Barnhart's day. And let me say this. I know Mitch Barnhart. I don't know him super well, but I know him well enough. I like Mitch Barnhart. Mitch Barnhart is a good man. And I say this as a Louisville fan. But he is a good man. He is, he's just a good, solid guy, right? Like if Mitch Barnhart said something, I know Mitch Barnhart's going to do it. He's not flashy. He's not Cal. He's the opposite of Cal. Well, the truth is Mitch Barnhart and Cal don't like each other. In fact, they don't talk to each other. For years, Dwayne Peavy was an assistant AD, and he was the go-between between Cal and Mitch because Cal and Mitch didn't talk to each other. And this needs to be a lesson in life for everybody right here, which is no matter how big you think your britches are, and in the case of John Calipari, we're talking about a lifetime contract, we're talking about a national championship and all those Final Fours and all the money and all the everything else. No matter how big you think your britches are, at some point, push can come to shove. And those relationships need to be strong enough so that when push does come to shove, you've got somebody who's on your side. If this were anybody else except for Mitch Barnhart, Calipari be fired. The way that their relationship goes. Because Cal has pissed off Mitch so bad over the years and is so unapologetic about it that a lot of people, out of spite, would say, oh no, now's my chance to take you out and I'm going to do it. But that's not how Mitch Barnhart is. Mitch Barnhart is a good man. Mitch Barnhart's the kind of guy who, if Calipari sits down with a plan, he's not going out of his way to fire John Calipari. If he fires John Calipari, it's because he doesn't think that there's anything that Cal can do. He's not scheming against Cal. That's not how he operates. And if he fires Cal, then the reality is that Mitch Barnhart doesn't see an exit strategy for Calipari to get himself out of the mess that has been the last 5 years or whatever for Kentucky basketball. But let this serve as a lesson to everybody. No matter how powerful you think you are, no matter how big of a stick you think you swing, unless you're Jerry Jones and you own the team, you always have to respect authority, or else it will bite you in the tush. Even Jerry, remember when he went after Roger Goodell and he went on to the compensation committee and he was going to try to cut Goodell's pay? Jerry got a message from the other owners that said, hey, if you keep this up, we'll vote you out of the league. And Jerry backed off. So with Cal, I mean, good luck on trying to cool the temperature with Mitch Barnhart, but there's a lot of I'm sorries that have to go around, and Cal's got to mean it. And I don't know if I can buy it. You know, when he's sitting there saying, oh, yeah, Mitch and I, we meet every year. Mitch and Cal don't talk. So don't tell me you meet every year. You're going to meet now because you're in trouble. And if it was anybody else but Mitch Barnhart, he wouldn't throw Cal a lifeline. Mitch might do it. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyron in Brentwood is up next on Calipari. Thank you for calling and waiting. What's up, Tyron?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it comes down to what Calipari is. Can they find somebody that can replace him?
Bingo.
Think that's really going to be the sign of it because he should be gone. Let's just be clear. I mean, when you're in Kentucky – and I thought Shire saved his job this week by getting Duke to the Sweet 16. Otherwise, his foot would have been held to the fire. But when you're Kentucky and Duke, you can't be going 5 years without getting to the Sweet 16. I mean, last time he went to the Sweet 16 was 2019. I think he got to the Elite Eight that year. But yep. Since then, it's been goose egg or at best second-round losses. So, yeah. And I always say this, too. The fact that he didn't win it in 2010, the fact that he didn't win it in 2015 when he had all world teams with Wall Cousins and Towns, and then, you know, and I get a kick out of it because I'm a Coach K fan. His arch nemesis won it both them years. I think that's a lot of this, too, because they had to hurt. Them had to hurt. So Calipari is under Chief. I always thought he was overrated. I can name you 10 coaches, past president is better than him. To me, he should be gone, whether it's Jay Wright, whether it's Billy Donovan of the Bulls, whether it's Brad Steve. Kentucky needs to pull the plug because it's over. You said it best, sir. The magic is gone, and there ain't no coming back from this, period. If he couldn't win with the last few classes, he isn't going to win.
No, I mean, Tyron, I appreciate your call. I don't disagree with anything you said. And I think, again, the bigger thing, too, like if Mitch Barnhart wasn't the AD and it was somebody who is not – as classy of an individual as Mitch Barnhart is, I think there's a really good chance that Mitch Barnhart would have spent the weekend trying to see if he can get Scott Drew to be the coach. Because if he can get Scott Drew, or if he can get Jay Wright, or if he can get, you know, some coach out there that would be a big name to Kentucky, Billy Donovan, you know, if he can get one of these guys to come to Kentucky, then he can fire Cal. What's going to be tough is if you fire Calipari and then there's nobody to hire. You know, you're not firing Calipari and hiring Shaka Smart. Like, you're not going to do that. Keith from Bowling Green says, I think it is time for a change, but I can't imagine Barnhart letting Calipari go on his radio show and then firing him. Here's the thing. Cal gets paid for that radio show. They have to produce a radio show. Cal is the head coach. So as long as Calipari is the head coach, he's got to do what is required in his contract, and that includes going on that radio show. My guess is Barnhart hasn't made a decision, and so he wouldn't want to swing opinions or speculation one way or another by not having Cal do his radio show. Keith also says Cal needs to invest in the transfer portal. Here's the problem. That's what he was doing. Remember when they had that Oscar Tshiebwe out there playing like Charles Barkley? The guy rebounded every basketball? He was from West Virginia. He was a transfer player. Those were transfer guys, and they lost to St. Peter's. So then it was like, all right, we're getting back to the basics. We're getting all the five stars. We're going. And then they lost again. I was watching College Game Day this weekend, and Seth Greenberg and Jay Williams were making excuses for Calipari because Greenberg's friends with him. I don't know if you guys remember this, but last year Greenberg started yelling at me over me saying that Cal should be on the hot seat. Anywho, so Greenberg and then we were making excuses, and they go to Jay Billis, and Jay Billis is like, they just need to play better in the tournament. Like, that's the problem. Whether it's a transfer portal team, whether it's a freshman team, that they're losing in the tournament. And the one constant in all of this is Cal. So I think the real question, I said this yesterday, I think the real question is, can they find somebody that is adequate enough to replace Cal? And if they can, they might fire him. One texter says, seems like you're more worried about Kentucky than you are Louisville. Does Louisville have a coach yet? Let me just say this. I am worried about Louisville, but I trust the guy in charge. I know he knows what he's doing. And because of that, I know we'll end up with a good coach. Even if I don't like the coach when they hire him, I will trust that he's a good coach because I know that guy who's making that pick. I've known him for 15 years. He was an older brother to me in college. I know he knows what he's doing. And with Barnhart, I know Barnhart knows what he's doing too. But with Calipari, I'm not sure. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. The most likely outcome for the Titans is also the best outcome. But is it possible that the best outcome doesn't come to fruition? We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.